a welcome dip.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Employers cut far fewer jobs than expected last month. And instead of rising, the July unemployment rate came down from 9.5 to 9.4%. That's according to the Labor Department this morning. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson is with us live. Hello.
Good morning, Bill.
So how good is this news really?
Well, we lost 247,000 jobs in July. And obviously, if you're one of the people who lost a job or you know someone, as many of us do, who lost a job in July, you're saying, how could you say that's good news? Well, here's the reason. Because economists were expecting 330,000 at the high level, 330,000 jobs lost in July. We lost 443,000 jobs in June. So the good news is the trajectory of job losses is now decidedly better than it was. We are slowing the number lost each month. And the hope is, Bill, that over the next several months, the nation will actually start adding jobs again.
So how does the unemployment rate drop if so many people got laid off last month?
It's a good question, and the answer is that the workforce dropped by 422,000 people. That means a lot of people have stopped looking for jobs, and that's why a lot of economists say the actual unemployment rate is much higher than 9.4%, which is what the Labor Department says it is today. If you count the people who have given up looking for work and the ones who aren't working as many hours as they want to, you're several percent higher than 9.4%.
And I understand the White House has made a comment this morning. What did they say?
Yeah, well, the Treasury Secretary had said before the number came out that the unemployment rate wouldn't start to drop until next year. As we mentioned, it dropped just slightly today to 9.4%. But the White House is now saying they still expect the number to go above 10% this year. And the reason for that is as those people who dropped out of the job market come back in, then you're gonna see that number go higher again.
Okay, Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us live. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
Of course, investors have been waiting to see those numbers. Pretty consistent on Wall Street. S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Dow are all up 1.3%. So the Dow is ahead 122 points this morning at 9,378. European markets are also up more than a percent. Asian markets, that's old news. They were mostly lower earlier today. The troubled insurer, AIG, said this morning it just booked its first quarterly profit in almost 2 years, $1.8 billion. Mitchell Hartman reports on the company's attempts at a comeback.
First, a little history. AIG got into risky securities backed by shaky mortgages. It was losing billions on these so-called toxic assets until the government bailed it out last fall. Now, $182 billion in taxpayer money later, AIG appears to be doing fine. Its stock was up as much as 65% earlier this week. Jeffrey Kleintop is chief market strategist at LPL Financial in Boston. He thinks what's happening in part is that AIG's troubled assets are starting to increase in value just a bit as financial markets recover.
Markets have gone from pricing in a Great Depression to merely a typical recession to now a recovery.
But Kleintop says it's not like these assets have gone through a complete detox and are now high-quality investments.
Delinquencies continue to rise, defaults continue to rise, there are foreclosures taking place. So on a lot of those mortgage-backed assets, the fundamentals haven't gotten a whole lot better.
Still, he says, as investor confidence returns, companies like AIG will find a market for their troubled assets, and that'll help their bottom lines. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And shares of AIG this morning are up more than 15%.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
As we said, the unemployment rate came down a little in July, still 247,000 jobs lost. Losing a job brings many problems, financial, emotional. It also raises questions of etiquette. From Chicago Public Radio, Adrian Hill reports.
It's not something that most etiquette books cover in great detail, how to handle being out of work in the middle of a recession. And Mary Gustafson has a lot of questions. She was laid off from her job as an editor of a trade magazine in January. We meet up at a cafe in Chicago. She's found herself wondering how to be in touch or out of touch with old colleagues.
My friend and I decided there's a cooling off period before you can talk to your old coworkers again. without it being too awkward.
She's pondered how to handle expensive dinner invitations and
what to do when you find out you've been either defriended on Facebook or de-linked in.
And solving this social quandary.
The hardest one is figuring out how much you can whine to somebody without being too whiny. Like, you can feel sorry for yourself for a while and you can let people buy you drinks for a while, but how long is it okay for you to complain?
I think you need to factor in a few days of Doritos on the couch, crying, you know, angry, and then you really do need to set that aside.
Amy Dickinson is the advice columnist at the Chicago Tribune.
It's like, you know, when you're dating, you don't want to go on a date with a guy who's like complaining about his ex. So you have to leave it. And I think you have to leave it as quickly as you can.
She says the people who do best are the ones who just get on with life, who don't hole up and withdraw. Job seeker Gustafson says it can be tough to feel confident meeting someone new.
Chit-chatting at wedding showers or any other public event, it's kind of awkward when they ask what you do and you have to say you're unemployed.
Dickinson, the advice expert, suggests it's time we all rethink the ways we interact.
Small talk isn't so small anymore.
Her recommendations for new topics, maybe celebrity gossip, or simple, perhaps more meaningful questions like, how are you? For Marketplace, I'm Adrienne Hill in Chicago.
And finally, the Coast Guard is giving away a free house in Massachusetts. Granted, it is a lighthouse, but it's airy, 114 feet tall, stunning views. It's called the Minot Ledge Light, and it's been guiding ships since 1860. You should also know the buyer must pay for upkeep and maintenance, as laid out in the Historic Lighthouse Preservation Handbook. You're going to want to weatherproof that house. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is up 138 points, 1.5% this morning at 9,394. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Friday and a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.